Welcome to the Coffee and Code podcast, where we bridge the gap between technology and people through each informative episode. I'm your host, Ashley Coffee, technologist, two-time TEDx speaker, and CEO of Coffee and Consult. On this show, you'll hear exclusive interviews with experts, innovators, creatives, and business owners in the tech space and beyond. Whether you're a novice or a tech enthusiast, my goal is to excite, inform, and empower you to understand how the rapidly evolving world of technology impacts your daily life. Let's dive into today's episode. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Coffee and Code. I'm your host, Ashley Coffee, and I'm excited to be joined by a special guest and friend today, Bobby Carlton. Bobby is amazing. He's a seasoned professional with over a decade of experience in digital technology, including the adoption of virtual reality and augmented reality and AR as powerful tools for workforce training and learning enterprise. And he's currently the head of global business development for digital solutions at FS Studio. He wears a lot of hats and does a lot of really cool things, but he's really a thought leader and an expert in this field. And I'm excited to dive into the world of XR and AI with him. But without further ado, welcome to Coffee and Code, Bobby Carlton.
Ashley, thank you for letting me be on your show and having me be a guest on your show. I really appreciate it. It's quite an honor. I've known you for some time, but to be on the show is a next step.
Next step, right? Next step on the friendship journey, and the next thing will be like a friendship bracelet or a necklace. Like, who knows?
Exactly.
Well, Bobby, tell us a little bit more about yourself. I don't want to, you know, share your exhaustive bio. It's an impressive one, but I don't want to not do it justice. So tell us a little bit more about you, how you got here, and what FS Studios is.
Sure. So I'll make it really simple. I worked in technology back in the 90s. I was doing a lot of research in sort of immersive environments for education. Back in the day, the old VR headsets were these giant, 300-pound headsets. And I was doing research on that, and then I ended up joining Apple in 2006, where I did a program doing education and technology. That was different because it was mostly focused on Apple technology, but it was really about how do Apple products, Apple technology improve the learning process in whether it is an enterprise or K-12, higher ed or anything like that. And from there, I just did a lot of work in that. Ended up doing some work at Second Life back in the day.
Yeah.
And if you remember Second Life. And
totally.
Back in 2015, I purchased a DK1 headset on a Kickstarter, an Oculus Kickstarter. I was in the first 200 to buy one. It was
like
a signed poster, signed headset. And I started talking with this guy, Elliot Mazey, who was owned this organization called the Mazey Center, which was a technology think tank, and really approaching corporate education. And he knew about my work that I had done with Apple. He knew that I had a VR headset. And so he asked me to join the Mazey Center as a director of a project called VR Learn. And VR Learn was very focused on introducing this new, quote unquote, new technology of virtual reality to corporate companies and to government agencies. Did a lot of work in that. Started doing different work with contract work with different organizations, worked with Motorola and Siemens. And then started doing writing for VR Scout, if you remember that publication.
Yeah.
And I was doing writing for them for many years. Really just working, looking at how virtual reality, less on the gaming side. I was not a gamer. People kind of were like, oh, how many games did you must play games all day? And I was like, I'm not a gamer. I was really more interested in how virtual reality or digital solutions could impact training day to day, how it could change the way we, talk to friends and family and coworkers. So did that, and ended up at FS Studio, and I joined the studio back in 2022, and really helping the studio sort of look at the different verticals on digital solutions. Where could they go? And FS Studio itself has been around since 2010. They did a lot of work in the early days of educational content, immersive educational content, but also doing work in robotic simulation. They had done a lot of work in sort of looking at how digital solutions would impact a much different type of workforce training, not necessarily how the shoulder-to-shoulder training that we were seeing, but more on looking at hidden factories that are found, and we can dive into that with that as a little bit later. But just looking at how simulation could help organizations really improve their workforce by literally simulating, you know, their warehouse, their retail environment. And something about FS Studio, which is really interesting, before there was NVIDIA Omniverse, which is a simulation tool, FS Studio needed to build a way to simulate drones. And so they built their own project called Zero Sim, and okay. We used drone simulation. This is before Omniverse existed. Wow. And we built that in Unity. We still have
nice.
It.
It's nice.
Yeah. So, but that's the journey really quickly. Like I've really had gone from sort of focused on training and workforce and with sort of digital solutions.
Oh my gosh. That is so cool. There are some bits and pieces that I did not know about you on that front, Bobby. That's incredible that you were able to be on the forefront of the research of this new type of learning modality of virtual simulation. And like, look where we're at now. Most corporations that are using virtual reality are seeing higher retention, increased morale, increased performance and improvement because you're already introducing metrics and tracking. So I love that you're always looking at this from like a business use case and practicality. And I'm curious to hear from you out of like all of that really in-depth experience across the industry. What was a single standout moment for you that was like, whoa, this is a future that I want to be a part of?
You know, I think looking back on it, Ashley, I would say a single standout moment for me was on a project where, which I can't say who the company is, but you probably enjoy their breakfast goods every morning. Some, you know, they were always leaning on the traditional way of retrieving data on how people shopped, right? And mm-hmm. So we had that sort of the old technology or the old approach was, you know, you'd have people, shoppers, they'd go through and they, you know, go through an aisle and they would observe you and watch how are you shopping. And there was a lot of data pulled from that, but through virtual reality, and through eye tracking, they were able to discover that that traditionally the companies always thought that having things at eye level was where it should be. Mm-hmm. And that they actually found that that actually worked against them. Putting it at eye level had you, the shopper, even look at the next tiered item. So if you put new items in the lower shelf, you're less likely to look up at the more expensive items and grab that item. And so through virtual reality, they were able to not only have a successful launch of a new product, but they increased sales overall. They found that if they had their items on a lower shelf, that you weren't going to grab their competitors' items. So it was a big sort of eye-opener in the sense of that we were missing a lot of data. You know, by not using technology.
Technology helped fill the gaps there. Think about all those data points that you wouldn't have had. But it's always good to make data-driven decisions, and the fact that you're able to extrapolate and make that tangible is huge.
Yeah, it's really amazing what we can do, especially with, you know, now, you know, with eye tracking, hand tracking, face tracking. Mm-hmm. There's all these new data points that we're taking and grabbing, and virtual reality and augmented reality really help sort of shape everything from manufacturing to the learning environment to marketing. You know, it changed the way that we communicated with others, you know, other shoppers, and in some ways gamified it. You know, I know gamification is one of those things that gets thrown around, but it is a big part of it. And that, you know, that technology and that approach has really evolved and to what I do today, you know, here at FS Studio. And again, it's, you know, with digital twinning and synthetic data, which people are always like, well, you know, what is synthetic data? But it's interesting the amount of data we can create through real data.
Absolutely. And you mentioned just one industry here, consumer packaged goods or the food beverage industry. But the beauty of XR, which incorporates VR, AR, and mixed reality, is that it's industry agnostic. So the world is your oyster for any opportunity, and that keeps you on your toes to learn new things.
Yeah. I'm talking about one thing, but yeah, healthcare, everything from healthcare, aerospace, the automotive industry, there's different how we use the technology and how we approach the technology is going to be different for each industry. Ultimately, it comes down to, you know, what can we do with that information? How can we not only improve the workforce and workflows, how can we improve engagement? How can we improve the way people learn? And how do we, you know, then you get the legacy employees, right? Employees who've been there for 30 years.
Institutional knowledge.
Yeah. And then how do you pass on that information? So technology itself has evolved in a way where it's interesting. I have people who will argue with me on this. We used to say, how can we use technology to resolve? Here's the problem. I have a problem. Technology will resolve it. The problem is like, I love a hot cup of coffee, but I don't want to take a mug with me every day. So technology created, you know, plastic cups or, you know, styrofoam cups, right? That was how we did it. Mm-hmm. And then as technology evolved, we started saying, here's technology. What problems can we solve with it? So we kind of switched it. You know, we were no longer looking at a problem and saying, what's the solution and how does technology fix it? We are now saying, here's a technology. Let's just go after everything. And it's never a perfect fit. You know, there's never a way for that's where I think technology fails. I think that's where when individuals start to just kind of cram it anywhere. And this is where I think with virtual reality, for example, I think it hit a roadblock where I think people were just looking at VR and just saying, okay, like let's just wake it. Well, we have people smoke too much. How do we fix, how do we make it right? People, they drive too fast. How do we use VR for this? And I think that's for me what sort of caused a bit of a skip in adoption, in my opinion. Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. You're right. I remember in 2018 when I was an emerging tech librarian, everyone and their dog wanted some kind of like VR simulation. And it was never a, should we assess if this is the right modality for this type of information? It was a, we want this because it's shiny, cool, and new.
Exactly.
But look at us now. I'm curious though. How do you, so a lot of people that I have approached with in terms of recommending these types of innovative solutions on a marketing level or on a business development level, I feel like some people are still stuck 2 years ago thinking that these types of avenues are inaccessible and way too expensive and out of reach. So I'm curious, how do you alleviate some of those concerns when maybe you're talking to executives about a cost and letting them know the return on investment overall value versus the one time? So what does that look like for you?
I mean, you have to be very realistic. One of the biggest issues I've always seen was you're convincing an organization who has had training go a certain way for many years, right? They're like, well, this is how we've done onboarding. This is how we've done training. This is how we've done this process. Very traditional methods, which works, right? You're now asking a company to completely disrupt that process to fold in new technology that is really sort of untested, in ways, and again, this is the early days, and then investing, thousands, not just thousands, like tens of thousands, in some cases, hundreds of thousands of dollars into reapproaching their training. And in today's world, it's much different, right? The Meta Quest 3S just came out, right? $300. So the cost doesn't have to be tethered to a pricey computer anymore. Meta has moved away from that. And AR technology, is obviously getting smaller. Again, looking at the new Snapchat glasses or even Magic Leap. But it's really just telling them, focusing with organizations about, here's the realistic cost, right? It's come down, but really focus on what is the ROI? What is the milestones that they're going to get with the learning by adopting this type of technology, and also literally giving them a roadmap, a step-by-step, within 6 months, you'll have this many headsets deployed with this type of learning. Within, you know, in month, you know, 10, you'll have this deployment. And you have to think about, like, I always use Facebook, for example, as a great example. So when Facebook rolled out an app, right, the app was pretty basic. You can basically download the app. You could just see what people are posting. That was it. And then Facebook slowly rolled out, okay, now you can like a comment. Then they slowly rolled out, oh, now you can upload. They had that ability to do that from the very start. They had the ability to be like, here's the full Facebook app that you from desktop to your phone. You could post photos, you can put videos. You had all that ability. But instead, they did it in a way that was strategic with a roadmap, give consumers one bit at a time so they weren't overwhelmed. And that's the same approach that with VR technology or AR technology or digital twinning technology, AI, is you have to roll it out in small, tiny bites, milestones throughout the year. You don't want to overwhelm the customer. You don't want to say, hey, we're going to do all this stuff. You can have all this ability. And they're just like, well, time out. We're trying to figure this out. Like, AI is still very new to us, you know, or, you know, so that's, to me, how I would approach that. And again, the cost is the cost. There's no way around. But the nice thing is the cost is much cheaper. But the biggest cost is the disruption. And that's the reality.
I couldn't agree more. And I feel like right now, since we're, you know, on the cusp of the fourth industrial revolution, it's important to make those considerations right now, especially as we're looking into 2025. Pivoting over into the AI segment here, we were talking about your Meta Ray-Bans glasses, your new ones, and how it's leveraging AI to give you specific information that's in front of you. But I also wanted to squash something because I think there's like a misconception going around that. And I don't know what this is, not in the XR community, but people think the Meta Ray-Bans are AR glasses and they're not. They're not AR glasses. They're smart glasses with cameras on them and the ability to listen to music and do voice controls. So I'm curious, what has your experience been like? What have been some of the standouts to you of that product? And what have been some of the maybe instances where you've had maybe some public friction for people realizing that you have cameras on your face and you might be recording them?
So the interesting thing about the Meta, and I really love the Meta Ray-Ban glasses. And and at first I was a little skeptical. You know, I was like, oh, you know, I got them at sunglasses first. So I was like, you know, how much, you know, I thought if anything, I was going to use them for listening to music. And that, I was like, how often do I take photos? And oddly enough, I take photos more than I actually thought I did. So which is one thing that I've noticed, but I think with the Meta Ray-Ban and the AI, I think how Meta has approached it with glasses, it was really smart. I don't think we need to have AR as part of our everyday.
I agree.
I think down the road, we'll have that, but in a very limited amount. Like, you know, I don't think we'll see it in the form of text messages. I don't think we'll see it in the form of like seeing AR content, you know, thrown in front of you. I think we will see AR, you know, in future Meta Ray-Bans, maybe as something as simple as just like highlighting something. Whether, you know, if you were to say, create a shopping list, I'm here to go to the market. And, you know, if you have a shopping list on your phone, it could maybe go to your phone and know that you're looking for bananas, you're looking for this certain type of peanut butter, and that when the glasses will at some point you have computer vision and show you exactly where it is. I don't think it'll be anything more than that. I don't think consumers need anything more than that. But what it does do is it allows me, the glasses themselves, like I am terrible at like always being on my phone. I am always on my phone. I'm looking at my phone, whether I'm looking up an email, looking at a text message, searching something on the web, scrolling, you know, through TikTok. And I found that I was looking at my phone quite a bit. And what I found that the Ray-Bans have done for me with the AI is allowed me to not be on the phone as much, but still access that information. Uh-huh. It's done in a way where it's very intuitive. Mm-hmm. It's not the most complete sort of UX experience at the moment, you know, but it's definitely getting there. And what I like about them is it allows me to focus on things in front of me versus uh-huh. focusing on things through a phone.
Oh, in front. Interaction.
Yeah, yeah. So really love them. And I, again, having the music capabilities, hearing text messages, sending text messages, taking phone calls. And, you know, you and I were talking earlier, you know, the glasses have a touchpad on the side, which I really love and don't love. You know, there's definitely issues with that. But overall, for me, I think what Meta has done is they're going in the right direction. And they're doing things where I think Apple is struggling. And I think other Nreal or anything like that, I think, again, it goes back to that idea, Ashley, where some people are trying to cram too much technology into the solution, mm-hmm. right? Again, look at the Nreal glasses or the Xreal glasses. That's what they're, Xreal. You know, they're very thick. They consume a lot of power, and I just want glasses to look like glasses. And I want them to be able to do things that I typically would do through my phone, and I can. So it's a win.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. And it was brilliant and strategic in the sense of, if you can name one more iconic glasses brand to partner with, tell me, because I don't know who it is. Because everyone wants to look cool, right? It doesn't look cool if you're wearing an Apple Vision Pro on a subway. Also, those are fake videos. They're just for likes. But that's not how people are using it. Compared to actual Wayfarers, like your normal glasses are Wayfarers. Mm-hmm. I've got Wayfarers and other Ray-Bans, and I love the brand because it's iconic. It's timeless. Their stuff is made with high quality, and anything that removes a distraction from you or a potential distraction that allows you to keep moving forward, I think is a win.
I do think that at some point, you know, don't be surprised when you see Warby Parker.
Oh, yeah.
To really consider smart glasses and technology. And, you know, the interesting thing was, like, before I got these glasses, I was on TikTok. I'm all over TikTok. I am scrolling through, but I love the TikTok shop.
Really?
Well, what's interesting about it is there's a lot of interesting technology, cheap technology in the TikTok shop. And I like to go in there because you can buy... I bought smart sunglasses for like $7 in the TikTok shop. They don't take video and they don't take photos, but I could answer my phone. I could listen to music.
Nice.
The quality wasn't great, but to me, TikTok shop is a great resource to find out where are people going with sort of stealing the idea of technology. Where are they seeing? Where is this sort of, you know, that typical low-hanging fruit, right? You know, people love saying that, but
low-hanging fruit.
TikTok shop is where I go to see, okay, you know, these companies, small companies, are putting out technology in these areas. And that's what consumers want. And consumers want sunglasses that look like sunglasses. Mm-hmm. And if you go in the TikTok shop, you can find a couple of different versions. They don't, you know, it's pretty amazing. Like, you can see drone technology. So it's a great place to sort of get an idea of what our sort of non-techie consumers are looking for.
Fascinating.
And it's not the best quality, but again, for me, it's knowing what are they thinking about when it comes to technology? Yeah, TikTok shop. Yeah, like, it's a great resource. I love TikTok shop. I think it's one of the best places you can go to find out where average consumers are looking for, what they're looking for technology.
I wanted to get your take on where we are right now in this intersection of AI is really at the spotlight. People are paying more attention to it. But can you tell everyone that VR is not dead, and that it wasn't just a phase? There's still development happening and there's still exciting stuff going on?
There's definitely still a lot of exciting things. I mean, here's the thing. So, I made this comment that VR, right, hit this wall. However, I will say that with newer technology, AI, Gaussian splatting, that type of approach, Nerf, that I think has really pushed VR into a different path, but a much larger path. And I think what's going to open up is how VR technology will be done we worked in anything from the different industries for mapping, for security, for safety, looking at, you know, in a sense, the idea of asynchronous time, if that is something. I love talking about, you know, synchronous time and asynchronous time, the idea of reality. You know, we can revisit reality, you know, in through VR by stepping almost backwards in time, looking at an event, and through Gaussian splatting or nerve technology, reconstruct that moment, and see what had happened. You know, so I think VR is at this new sort of junction where, outside of the gaming industry, we are going to see, and outside of the basic employee training, which, you know, soft skill training, we saw VR for soft skill training. There was a lot of work in that, and we still do. There's still tons of that. You know, how to do high voltage switch, you know, changing, how to repair an elevator, and VR is a wonderful tool in that way. But now we can leverage virtual reality and VR headsets in a much different way through new technologies and AI, and, you know, and Nerfs and Smurfs, for example, will all sort of reignite how organizations and industries look at, you know, virtual reality or XR technology, however you want to call it, you know, AR, VR, XR, digital content, immersive solutions. And it's an interesting place, because I think as we're hitting this new sort of era where headsets are becoming smaller, less expensive, that we are starting to see that the approach of accessing that information is easier. And that's when I think, you know, I think in 2016, 2017, they used to say next year it's going to be full adoption. And there was always that person who's like, no, it's going to be 5 years. It's going to be 7 years. And here we are, you know, 5 years, you know, 7 years from 2017. And now we're starting to get some foundation, you know. And so I still think we're not there yet.
Yeah.
But I do think we're finally in the right path. And I think that we went through that weird sort of gangly teen angst sort of phase. And
totally.
And now we're starting to see where, okay, industries are now saying, okay, AI technology is changing the way we consume data. AI technology is changing the way we create data. And we are now able to approach all types of learning, all types of reconstruction of environments, and do simulation better through AI. And I think industries are paying attention. And even something like the Apple Vision Pro, actually a $2,500 device, you know, I people love to say that that device is a complete failure. I argue that it's not. I'm on the side that Apple is not full of dummies. They know exactly what they're doing. I think Apple put out a headset at that price point because they were like, well, let's just see. Let's do, instead of having internal R&D, let's have consumer R&D. Let's put out this device. Who buys it? Mm-hmm. Who doesn't buy it? Who's complaining about it? And then let's put out Vision OS. Who's working in it? And what are they doing? So instead of Apple trying to figure out what do consumers want, they were like, let's let the consumers tell us what they want. And I think that, you know, this Apple Vision Pro Generation 1 device gave them a lot more information than anyone would ever guess.
Mm-hmm.
And they are setting themselves up for what does the future of sort of these XR glasses, you know, is it whether, you know, whether it's a full headset, whether it's something like this. And, you know, and Apple is starting to, you know, is it, some people call it spatial computing. Some people, you know, want to, you know, there's like a spatial interactivity. I mean, there's all these different names, right? We're in this weird phase again.
Yep.
So I think where we are today and what is happening with this, these, all these technologies coming together is we are now sort of like reapproaching digital solutions and immersive content in a way where VR and AR will excel. You know, it's kind of the long-winded response to your question of like, you know, virtually. And I do think VR will have this new life back into it, you know, in my opinion.
I agree. I agree with you on that. I think that was a really well-rounded explanation there, and it helps people understand where we were, where we are, and where we're going.
It's just my opinion, by the way. I mean, I, you know.
For sure, for sure. We are not the technology oracles that people think we are.
I was wrong.
Yeah. It's what a time to be alive. But I'm curious, from your perspective right now, are there any particular projects that you're working on that are exciting to you that you can talk about that are leveraging some of these technologies?
Yeah, you know, there's a couple projects I can talk about. I can't deep dive into, but one project that we're doing is with a extremely large global financial institution.
Mm-hmm.
And they are looking at AI solutions for metahumans and how are those metahumans delivered and what does it mean for the future? Yes, they are a global financial institution, but they're looking at it in much different ways. So it's part of that piggybacks onto sort of what we were thinking what VR would be and what AR would be on the entertainment side. But now we have we're doing in the middle of a project where it is AI and metahumans and what's that impact on the sort of the retail financial aspect of social experiences where you are out. Like, imagine, you know, Ashley, you're out with your friends, you go to a music festival, you know, what's going on, right? You're out with friends, you're listening to music. There's obviously merchandise, you're consuming drinks, there's food, there's all these other components. You know, your friend buys you, Venmo them some money because you're like, hey, they bought it this. And our client is looking at that entire experience and saying, okay, where does AI and metahumans and digital solutions, you know, and this includes anything from, you know, using LiDAR sensors. Yeah, but I was talking about this one project, and then like the idea that AI, they're looking at all types of technology. Like, again, they're leaning back into that VR component, but they're thinking about everything else and what does it mean, and digital humans or metahumans, whatever you want to call them. So that's an exciting project that we're working on. And then there's another really interesting project where it is with an organization overseas, and it's simulation of drone technology.
Wow.
And in different types of environments, right? If we all paid attention, obviously, in school, we know like hot weather, cold weather impacts, you know, the airflow and the way things move through the air. And this project is a really interesting project because it is simulating different types of drones in different environments. What does it mean? It is a really fascinating project. It's a lot of fun. That one involves a lot of NVIDIA Omniverse work.
I'm sure
we're doing but it's interesting. And you know, of course, we have a couple of aerospace projects which are just for me super cool. I think I teased it on LinkedIn. It is probably one of the most coolest projects I've ever worked on. I'm a big space nerd.
Yeah.
This aerospace project was probably just, if I would ever dream up of like what would be the coolest aerospace project, you know, the deal with like space exploration, it would be this. And the fact that we are doing this project it's one of those things like I wish I could run around and tell people. So now I just, you know, at home, I sit alone and I talk to my dogs and I tell my dogs about
it. They're never going to tell a soul.
They're never going to tell a soul. That's right.
That's awesome, though, to be able to have a project that excites you, fulfills you, and hits all of those marks of technology, space exploration, innovation, and the future.
Oh, yeah. I love it. It's to me, you know, I'm very passionate about, you know, as a rocket nerd who's not an actual rocket scientist. There's actually been a couple of aerospace exploration projects. I can tell you right now that we are currently working with Blue Origin,
nice.
And that's public knowledge. So we We are doing work with them on their BE-7 rocket. That's like the most I can really say about this project, but very cool.
Very cool. Wow. That is amazing. I would never imagine having a project like that with such like high visibility and so many things that could go wrong, but like a really good privilege to be able to, you know, do what you love and practice that.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't complain. I'm in a really, you know, I had a wonderful tenure at Apple. You know, I learned quite a bit. You know, that was really an amazing experience that I working on their education platform was challenging in a lot of different ways, exciting in a lot of different ways. And thankfully, one day I saw a Kickstarter, you know, and saw this VR headset, you know, it was like, I happen to have that kind of money, I'll buy one. And I didn't even have a PC for it. I did not have a PC. I had to borrow a PC.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. How long did you work for Apple? You said 2006, which that was like the renaissance of Apple, because that's right when Apple retail started, 2005. So at 06 would have been like the year after.
Yeah. So 2006, I was there 2006 to 2015. And I did, again, my focus was more on higher ed and Apple tools, and really focus on sort of changing the sort of the way that a college interacted with students and with faculty with technology. Yeah. But again, my heart was more on the corporate side, because I was really fascinated about, I was a big nerd of like movies like Tron, and yes. The whole point was like, at the time, you know, the first Tron was like, you know, here's this dystopian world, and you know, the technology was the antagonist. But I saw it as more of like, okay, like get rid of all that, but like, what if we lived in a computer? Like, what could we do? Mm. How could we take digital content? And so I was always fascinated about that, which was like more on the corporate side, because I was really interested in how people work, you know, and how they learned. And I was not a great student. Because I was a very non-traditional student, I really sort of struggled with the traditional classroom. I found it to be really wasn't engaged the way I was.
Stifling.
Yeah. But I was sort of, my head was in these sci-fi movies, and I was like, it's too bad we couldn't have something like this. So,
right.
So yeah. So that's to me where I think, you know, the work that I'm doing now is fascinating, because I'm exploring these areas of like what I dreamed about. And so I'm excited that I'm here where I'm at, and I love the work that I do. And of course I get to go to conferences and run into people like you, you know, which is always great.
Right.
Because you're a legend.
The community is awesome. I love the community, the VR community, for that reason. It's because whenever we go to conferences, it's like coming home again, and it's like being able to sit down with a friend to pick up on a conversation that you just had a year ago or 6 months ago.
I will say this, right? I mean, we work in this technology, you know, the VR world, right? And this is where it does highlight where VR falls very short, right? Mm-hmm. We all look forward to that conference. We all look forward to going to this event, right? Traveling there. Right, buying our badge or whatever, you know, the Airbnb, the hotel, getting those meetups after sessions. And right, and here we are touting how VR is this great connector. And the reality is, it's a great tool, but it has a long ways to go to be a connector or not. I've always sort of, I don't advocate for this technology, is out of the sounds, Ashley. Like, I try to come across as an expert in it. You know, I really, you know, to advocate for the technology just means you're just sort of being a cheerleader for it, and you're not really providing the right information for your clients, right? So if you're working with a customer, I like, you know, I'm about like, hey, here's where it's going to work, and here's where it's not going to work. Here's where we have a long ways to go. Here's where we can really add it to your work environment, and here's where it's not going to happen. And I always struggled with, and no disrespect to them, for the ones who advocate because, you know, I get it. You have to have people who advocate for it, but I don't think it does anyone any good, in my opinion. That's, again, I'm sure people will message me and say that is a terrible opinion, but in my opinion, that's the best way to approach this.
I agree. And the beauty of being on a podcast is you can have your own opinion and share it, which is great. I agree with you there on that front. To me, and that's where like terminology comes in, because so many people have a different terminology, like what is AI versus what it actually is, advocacy versus what it actually is. But I would say, like, when I think of advocacy, I think of like a cause, something in terms of like, I'm going to advocate for accessibility and inclusive design in VR experiences. But being an advocate just for a piece of technology in general is very influencery.
Yes.
Like the promote-ish. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless Meta is sending me a headset or Ray-Bans, I'm not going to go above and beyond.
Yeah, that's the job of marketing. Let marketing do that. But as you know, and I'm all for that. I get that. That is the role of marketing. But I think for the role that I'm doing and the work that I've done over the years in this tech, I think it's, for me at least, is not advocating for it, but just educating, you know.
Ooh, I like that. Rather than advocating, educating. That's a good quote. I'm going to pull.
Yeah.
Amazing. I'm curious here. So I always ask people like a question that's super random towards the end of our conversation, because I could have a conversation with you about VR for literally the entire day. And I would love to next time we go to AWE. And I know you're a music file and you have so many cool hats. You're welcome to share your cool fun fact about music. But if you had to choose one album to live with the rest of your life, what album would it be and why?
Oh, man, what album? That would probably be, again, this is going to be a hot topic. All Things Must Pass, George Harrison. I think he wrote, out of all the Beatles, wrote the best songs, wrote the best solo songs. Mm-hmm. I think he's the most talented out of the band. I think George Harrison, and that record to me was just an absolute showcase of what he could do without being restricted, of the sort of bookends of Paul McCartney and John Lennon. And if I were to have one record of me on an island, that would be it. It is everything about that record, the musicianship, lyrics, the instrumentation, the production, is just one of the most amazing albums you could ever. And I would encourage anyone to do the deep dive, listen to it through a headset, put it in your car, drive around at night and listen to that.
Okay.
It is an experience from start to finish.
Well, challenge accepted. I'm going to listen to that in my car.
Cool. Please do.
Great recommendation. I like it. In terms of what's happening next, what's next for you, Bobby? What are you excited about? And what's that next thing that we're going to be looking forward to?
Sure. I mean, right now, the next thing is just finishing out the year. There's a lot of projects we have going on. Obviously, this conference is coming up in 2025. We have South by Southwest. We have AWE. CES.
CES?
Yep. CES. Which, oddly enough, I've always skipped CES just because I just never thought it was a conference I should be at. But I am going to go this year.
Miss you!
Well, so we'll see you there.
Exactly. I thought the exact same thing, except for I've always had a dream to go since like 2017. I know how hard it is to go. But when you're like in the technology world, seeing all these prototypes from across the industry, like people put on the big guns, big show there.
They do. And so I'm really excited. I'll be at that. And, and as for work, you know, we just have a lot of projects running. Some will be running in 2025. And just excited that, you know, where technology is going. I'm excited to see just sort of the evolution of what is Meta doing, what Apple will be doing. Obviously, you know, HTC's got a new headset out, you know, you know, Pico, there's all these different devices. Samsung will have something out. And just seeing where wearable technologies will go, because I think wearables is where it's at. That's just me.
Me too. whatever we can have as an extension of our human self is easier for us to use. I like that. Well, Bobby, where can people find you and follow your cool stuff, your BMX biking, your musicianship?
Well, you can find me on LinkedIn, obviously, Bobby Carlton. It might be Carlton on LinkedIn, but it's Bobby Carlton. My pictures will come up. You'll see me.
Perfect.
You can also follow me on Instagram at B Carlton. Threads, same thing, B Carlton. I'm on all those platforms. I recently left Twitter for whole other reasons.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I will say Twitter was a great platform for the early days of like connecting with people and content creators. Loved it. But I moved on from it. But Threads, Instagram, LinkedIn. You can also go to I have a website. It's a terrible website, bcarlton.com. It needs some loving. I get it. I am not a web developer, but
you can't do all the things.
I can't do all the things. And definitely check it out. And as you mentioned, I just try to ride my bike, play music, hang out, have a good time.
That's what life's about, right?
Life's about.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. But Bobby, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your expertise with us and really a deep dive into what exactly you do. I think this is an exciting conversation for people to learn more about the business and use case of what emerging tech can bring to the table and the money that they're leaving on the table and customer opportunity by overlooking some of these options and modalities. So I look forward to having you on the show again in the future, and I hope you have an awesome rest of your day. But thank you so much, Bobby.
Thank you for having me on the show, Ashley. Appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Coffee and Code. Your support means everything, so be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. You can also follow us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube for more insights, updates, and behind-the-scenes content. Stay curious, stay informed. Until next time, stay hydrated, and do something nice for someone.